You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's something about an ordinary neighborhood that hides extraordinary secrets. A place where families gather, children play, and the humdrum rhythm of life lulls us into thinking everything is as it should be. But sometimes under that calm surface, something stirs, something we can't explain, something we can't see, but we can feel. In tonight's story, a listener writes to us about an unsettling presence that began in the most innocent of ways. Laughter in the front yard, a camera in hand, and a quiet swing set in the background. What they didn't realize was that they weren't alone. A shadowy figure lingered, one that would go on to leave its mark in more ways than one. This story isn't just about fleeting glimpses of the paranormal. It's about the contrast between light and darkness, between comfort and fear. What happens when a benevolent force seems to be watching over you and a malevolent one decides to step in? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, this is my first time submitting a story, but definitely not my first paranormal experience. The events I'm about to share didn't just happen to me. They also involved my next-door neighbor, V8. That's what I call her. There's a long story behind the nickname, but for now, let's just say she's been my closest confidant through some very strange times. This story begins on an ordinary sunny day in my front yard, where neither of us had any idea our lives were about to shift. V8 and I were snapping pictures with my new camera, laughing at the awkward angles and silly poses. The late afternoon sun cast long shadows across the grass, and everything felt so normal. But then V8 froze mid-laugh, her eyes fixed on something near the old swing set in my backyard. Her expression changed in an instant, her carefree grin replaced by unease. "I keep seeing someone," she said, barely above a whisper. "Over there, by the swings." At first, I thought she was kidding, but as she described what she saw, a tall figure, maybe a teenager with long black hair and a gray hoodie, I felt a chill creep up my spine. She had just described someone I'd been catching glimpses of for weeks, only I'd convinced myself it was all in my head. V8 insisted she saw him walking past the swing set. He wasn't running or darting out of view like a living person might when caught somewhere they shouldn't be. No, he moved with a strange, deliberate rhythm, always going the same way, right to left, never toward us, never in the opposite direction. I didn't know how to explain it, but it terrified me that she saw him too. That was the first time we talked about Seth. That's what we started calling him. And the more we talked, the more things began to click. Seth wasn't just a fleeting shadow in the corner of my eye. He had patterns, movements, and even a presence that felt distinct, peaceful almost, like he wanted us to know he was there, but not to scare us. One day, while reviewing the photos we'd taken, we noticed something odd in one of the shots. At first, it seemed normal, just the swing set with the afternoon light casting shadows across the ground. But then we saw it, a shadow that didn't belong. It wasn't shaped like any of the equipment, and it didn't line up with the angle of the sunlight. It was unmistakably human, standing right where V8 had seen him. My stomach churned as I looked closer. That wasn't all. Behind the swing set, scattered among the leaves and sticks, was a strange pattern. It didn't make sense at first, but then V8 traced it with her finger. The word Seth was spelled out, as if someone or something had arranged the debris to leave us a message. Despite the eerie realization, Seth never felt threatening. If anything, his presence brought a strange sense of calm. Once I lost a camera battery and half-jokingly asked Seth for help. Minutes later, there it was, sitting in plain sight on a table I'd already searched twice. "Thanks, Seth," I muttered under my breath, and for a moment, I felt almost grateful he was around. But as peaceful as Seth seemed, there were still moments that left me unsettled. Like the time I felt a light tap on my shoulder while standing in the front yard, only to turn around and find no one there. Or how he always seemed to follow his patterns, walking right to left, never deviating, as if bound by some unseen rule. It was these small, inexplicable details that kept me on edge, even as I tried to convince myself he wasn't dangerous. For a while, I almost got used to him. That was until something else arrived. A new presence, one that was anything but comforting. It started subtly, an odd feeling of paranoia that would wash over me out of nowhere. The hairs on the back of my neck would stand up and my chest would tighten as if I were being watched. It wasn't like the peaceful feeling Seth brought. This was different, darker. Then one night I saw her, a woman with long, platinum blonde hair and a white dress, standing just out of reach. She didn't move. She didn't speak. But the moment I laid eyes on her, I felt my blood run cold. And just as quickly as she appeared, she was gone. After that night, everything changed. The peaceful coexistence we'd had with Seth was shattered by the arrival of this new presence. Unlike Seth, who seemed content to exist quietly in the periphery, she made herself known in ways that were impossible to ignore. At first, it was just the feelings, anxiety, dread, that sense of being watched, but soon she began to appear more frequently. Once I caught her reflection in a mirror. Her pale face stared back at me, expressionless, her white dress glowing faintly in the dim light. I spun around, but the room was empty. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every creak of the house, every whisper of the wind outside felt like her watching, waiting. And it wasn't just me. V8 started noticing her, too. She showed up at school once, during class. The room grew cold, and a strange, sour smell filled the air. One of my classmates mentioned feeling dizzy, while another complained of a sudden headache. I didn't dare say what I'd seen, her figure standing in the hallway just beyond the door. But V8 caught my eye and gave a slight nod. She'd seen her, too. There was something oppressive about her presence, as if she drained the life out of the space around her. Unlike Seth, who brought a calming energy, this spirit felt malevolent. She never lingered for long, but every encounter left me shaken. And then came the night I heard the sound. It was late, and I was lying in bed, unable to sleep. The house was silent except for a faint, rhythmic creaking, like an old bicycle wheel turning just outside my window. At first, I thought it was my imagination, but as I strained to listen, the sound grew louder, more distinct. It wasn't coming from outside. It was coming from the hallway. I froze, barely daring to breathe, when suddenly a shadow flitted past my door. It was her. I couldn't see her face this time, but I knew it was her. My chest tightened and an overwhelming sense of dread washed over me. I wanted to scream, but no sound came out. The next morning, V8 told me about a story from her childhood. She and her siblings had seen a bike with no rider gliding down the street late one evening. The sound it made matched what I'd heard. It was an eerie coincidence, or maybe something more. Things only escalated from there. One afternoon, V8 was standing by my pool when she suddenly stumbled forward as if shoved by an invisible hand. She fell into the water, gasping and flailing. I ran to pull her out, and when I did, she was shaking. "It wasn't Seth," she said immediately, her voice trembling. "It was her." I wish I could say that was the worst of it, but there was one night that still haunts me. I was lying in bed trying to sleep when I felt it. Pressure on my chest, as if someone was sitting on me, pinning me down. My throat tightened and I struggled to breathe. Panic set in as I realized I couldn't move. Then, just as suddenly as it started, the weight lifted and I gasped for air. I knew it was her. After that, I started to notice patterns. Seth and the woman never appeared at the same time. It was almost as if he stayed away when she was around, like he was afraid of her. I began to wonder if he was trying to protect us in some way, to counterbalance her darkness. But if that was the case, why didn't he do more to stop her? I still don't have answers. Seth's presence has become less frequent, almost as if he's fading away. The woman, on the other hand, is still here. She doesn't show herself as often anymore, but I can feel her. She's watching, waiting, and I can't shake the feeling that she's not done with us yet. Unlike Seth, who brought a strange sense of comfort, her presence leaves only fear. And as much as I want to understand who she is and why she's here, part of me is terrified to find out. For now, I try to live with it. But every night as I lie in bed, I wonder, what does she want? And how long will it be before she decides to take it? Thanks for listening. Nicole. It's hard to imagine living with spirits that seem to coexist in such contrasting ways. On one side, there's Seth, a calming presence who seems to watch over and even assist when called upon. On the other, there's the woman, a dark, oppressive force that spreads fear wherever she goes. Nicole's story raises as many questions as it answers, leaving us to wonder, what are these entities, and why have they chosen her and V8? From a psychological perspective, it's tempting to attribute some of these experiences to shared delusions or heightened emotions. When two people share a bond, their perceptions can sometimes align in ways that amplify fears or create shared interpretations of unexplained events. Could the stress of life combined with the power of suggestion explain the sightings and sensations? Perhaps. But what about the physical evidence? The photograph, the shadows, the patterns spelled out in nature? And what of the physical interactions like the push into the pool or the sensation of being strangled? For those who lean toward the paranormal, this story fits into a larger narrative of spirits with distinct energies. Benevolent and malevolent, light and dark. Seth's patterns and peaceful aura suggest he's a residual or protective spirit, someone connected to the land or perhaps the people living there. The woman, on the other hand, carries all the hallmarks of an intelligent haunting, a spirit actively engaging with the living, feeding on fear, and asserting dominance. Her connection to the bike sound adds a layer of intrigue, hinting at a past tied to the area or a traumatic event that anchors her here. And then there's the lingering question, why now? Seth was already a part of Nicole's life, appearing quietly in the background. But the woman's arrival has upset the balance, forcing Seth into the shadows and leaving Nicole and V8 to fend for themselves. Is her presence a sign of something unfinished, a story left untold? Or is she simply drawn to the living, feeding off their fear and confusion? Whatever the case, this story is far from over. As Nicole and V8 continue to share their lives with these spirits, they stand at the center of a mystery that may never be fully unraveled. One thing is certain. The shadows of the swing set, the whispers in the hallway, and the pale figure in the mirror will linger in our minds, and perhaps theirs, for a long time to come. What do you think? Are these entities playing out their roles in a cosmic balance between good and evil? Or are they manifestations of something closer to home, born from the human psyche? Whatever the answer, one thing's for sure. This is a story that keeps us looking over our shoulders and wondering, what if? And with that, we close tonight's chapter. Sleep well, everyone, if you can.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.